You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org, listener-sponsored community radio. The 8 o'clock buzz will be up after the BBC News.
Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2304. Local 2304 is a small local union with a big agenda, bringing power to the people by representing the workers who provide safe and reliable gas and electric service at MG&E. The professional union reps at Madison Teachers Incorporated, the field organizers and canvassers at For Our Future, and the staff collective right here at WORT. More information about the union is available on their website at ibew2304.com.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery. The German Foreign Ministry has summoned the Russian ambassador after two men were arrested on suspicion of spying and planning sabotage attacks on military sites. The pair are dual Russian and German nationals. Damian McGuinness reports from Berlin.
The two suspects allegedly took photos and videos of US and German military facilities in Bavaria, reportedly including a base where Ukrainian soldiers are trained on American Abrams tanks. Prosecutors say the aim was to carry out an attack in order to sabotage German military aid for Ukraine. Germany's government has reacted forcefully. German Interior Minister Nancy Faeser said that Germany would not allow itself to be intimidated and would continue its massive support for Ukraine.
Foreign ministers of the Group of Seven leading industrial nations are meeting on the Italian island of Capri. The talks are focusing on Ukraine and the Middle East. Here's Jessica Parker.
G7 foreign ministers are locked in discussions covering a range of topics from conflict in the Middle East and fears of escalation, but also what more can be done to help Ukraine. And actually, the foreign minister from Ukraine, Dmytro Kuleba, is here, and they are making a particular appeal for air defences at the moment. And then more broadly, there's a discussion about how to channel more money to Ukraine.
In the latest Russian attacks on Ukraine, explosions have been reported in the Dnipropetrovsk region. The extent of the damage is not yet clear. Officials in the western Ivano-Frankivsk region say critical infrastructure was damaged when debris from a shot-down drone caused a fire. But the mayor of Ivano-Frankivsk, Ruslan Matsinkov, said the situation was under control.
There was a massive attack on Western Ukraine. The air defense worked and worked very well. The most important thing is that there were no fatalities or injured. There were no casualties.
Ukraine's foreign minister, who met the US Secretary of State, again called on the House of Representatives to pass a long-stalled bill on military aid. Northeastern Indonesia is on tsunami alert after a volcano erupted five times, prompting fears it could collapse into the sea, setting off a catastrophic series of waves. The authorities have raised the alert level around the Ruang volcano to its highest tier and are scrambling to evacuate thousands of people away from nearby islands. Images of the volcano taken from a nearby island show lightning repeatedly striking the top of the volcano as bright red lava flows down its sides. A major airport in the nearby city of Manado has been shut due to volcanic ash. BBC News.
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for two open participating member seats and one open listener sponsor seat to serve three-year terms on the board of directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at the annual meeting in June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2027. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Wednesday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 30th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 30th. More information and board applications are available at WORTFM.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
True Endeavors presents Alejandro Escovedo at the Barrymore Theater on Friday, April 26th at 8 p.m. From his work with San Francisco punk innovators The Nuns, to the Austin-based alt-country rock pioneers Rank and File, to the Texas-bred darlings True Believers, Alejandro Escovedo has blazed many trails as a singer and songwriter. His appearances in Madison are as eclectic as the man himself, kicking the jams with a wicked rhythm section, or lulling the audience with a string quartet, or breaking hearts solo acoustic. In promotion of his new album, Echo Dancing, Alejandro Escovedo returns to Madison on Friday, April 26th at the Barrymore Theater. More information at barrymorelive.com. Bringing you music that brings you life, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
Oh, no. Hey, good morning, everybody. You are tuned in to WORT 89.9 FM. Shally, I hope you're listening out there. Because the screen just on the computer. Yeah, we had it all worked out. see? Press that. No, it didn't happen. Hey, it's 8:07. You are tuned in to WORT 89.9 FM. My name is Tony Castaneda. And it's time for the Thursday, April 18th edition of the April 18th, 2024 edition of the 8 o'clock buzz. Eli, get back over there and start singing the theme song.
Bum, 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 ba-da. Bum, bum, ba-da.
That's not bum, it, bum, ba-da, ba.
It's the 8 o'clock buzz.
Why don't you record it? The computer with the carts just froze on me. It says, a problem occurred preloading the cart track. The file may be corrupted or it does not exist. And look at that, man. Every time I touch a computer, it breaks in front of my face. Everybody thinks it's my fault and that I need an engineer, and I don't. And Tom's here, man. See what happened? We don't really need it. How about if I just do this, everybody?
Because when I sing it, keep people actually can't tell the difference.
they're like, what show is that? Mm. Here, try this. Come on, here, sing it right. Man, he must have failed like music class.
I got an A plus. I could play Hot Cross Buns on the recorder. I could play Hot Cross Buns on the.
Enough of that. We're looking at. There is something wrong, officially wrong with this, right? Can you verify that to our listening audience? Yes.
Seems to be.
All right.
We have a nodding yes.
I touched the computer and it broke, and that's what always happens, Your Honor. That's why I did not get that notice about unpaid taxes. as I mentioned, this is the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz. I'm here, of course, with Eli Wills. He's back. Eli, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. It's good to be back in Madison. It's good to be back in the studio.
Yeah, you left town. You didn't tell me last week, right?
Well, I was, going west.
Oh, yeah, you were in Las Vegas. How did your shows go at Caesar's Palace?
Well, unfortunately, I had a little bit of a Bruno Mars situation where...
They were double booked.
They were double booked, and they couldn't sneak me in, and I just ended up with some outrageous gambling debts that I now have to pay off like Michael Jordan in Space Jam, so...
Really?
Yep. So if you hear me accidentally plugging, the MGM Grand during the show, it's because... They're saying I have to say it a million times on wart to pay off my debt. So.
There must not have been much of a debt, man. Yeah. If you got to say it only a million times on Wart.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's good. It's good to have you back. And, you know, I was we were supposed to have a stand-in for you last week. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. And then we were going to have a stand-in for you this week because there was a possibility you were not going to be here.
Yeah,
right?
There was. And you keep trying to fire me. You keep
saying. No, I just know that you're not always going to be here. Just like I've told you, I'm not always going to be here.
Yes. Just like we always do on the 8 o'clock buzz, we recognize that time moves on.
Yes. But this week you were out of town again, and we almost had to get a substitute for you. And of course, that was going to be our good friend Sasha Rosser, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she called in sick on her first day of training today at work. It's too bad because, you know, I brought her a newspaper and a banana and.
That means I just
and zucchini bread.
Does that mean I just get double the news?
You get time and a half. Of course, here's yours. I got the New York Times for me, but I guess I'll keep her
fancy
newspaper.
Give yourself a raise.
Here's two bananas. Here.
Wow. Number one.
And number two.
Number two, Sasha, if you're out there, I'm eating your banana.
You're right. Here's
your zucchini bread. I'm gonna have breakfast for 2 days in a row.
I'm going to keep this zucchini bread, man. Man.
If you keep it, I'll eat one.
I'll eat it because I forgot to get me one today. Actually, I ran out of money. So now I'm keeping that one.
It's hard to keep the lights on here.
I wonder if Sasha's ever read a newspaper.
You know, I think
but
she's certainly written jokes about the news. So.
All right. Well, she's coming. She's got a big show coming up, right?
Yes.
And what is that?
That's
one thing.
We were
going to interview her today also.
Well, a lot of people love this show. It's called The Words with Nerds Show, and it's comics doing a slideshow presentation about...
Kind of semi-educational stuff, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of a smart thing. You can go, and it's comics doing jokes and comics... and not in comics trying to teach you stuff, but also it's always not always comics. It's sometimes, you know...
Regular people.
Regular people that are smart about certain topics and...
And it's called Words for Nerds, Words and it's going to be held where at the Crucible, right?
It's going to be at the Crucible the third Thursday of every month, so I guess that tonight? That must be tonight.
Yes, it is.
Sasha's going to be on the show. So go head out to the Crucible.
But she's sick, you know.
Sasha's sick.
I heard she's puking and everything, so she probably won't be there, right?
Yeah. We'll see. If she shows up, we know she was dogging us. So.
All right, but you did just get back from Florida, right? And this is very exciting news because your dad just rode his bike across the country. He did it for a very good cause also.
Yeah. So.
And you went down to... to see him.
I went down to surprise him as he crossed the finish line. It
really?
was pretty rough, actually, because I was in Vegas until the Sunday night. Took the red eye to Jacksonville. Took an Uber to St. Augustine to get there right as the hour tipped for him to dip his front wheel in the Atlantic Ocean. So 45 days across the country. He went from San Diego, California to St. Augustine, Florida. And was doing it to raise money for breast cancer, which is something that my mom went through a couple years ago and is fully recovered. But a great organization that gets women out and out into the world after their breast cancer diagnosis. Super good correlation between being active and having success with your...
And what's even more exciting is we're going to interview your dad next week. Does your dad... what's your dad's name?
Jim.
Do you know his name?
Jim. Do I know his name?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you didn't know where you lived that one time when you moved.
Yeah, that's true.
You didn't know the address. It was just, I don't know. It was a good thing it was only like three blocks from where you used to live.
Yeah.
So you knew the general vicinity.
Yeah.
In case you get lost. In case you get lost.
Yes, but it's very exciting. My dad, Jim Wills, he's going to be on the buzz next week.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's a little nervous about it. I talked to him about it. He says he doesn't know how he comes across on the radio.
So. Well, nobody knows until it happens.
Yeah.
And then after a while, then you just don't care.
Yeah.
It's too late by now.
And sometimes you wake up, you've been doing it for 30 years.
Okay. Well, more importantly, though, we do have some guests today. We're going to be talking to our own DJ, Salcedo Serpentine, El Serpentine, because it's Record Store Day. And guess what day it falls on?
April
420, oh, man. You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but it
means
it's cool day, and it's Record Store Day, and WRT is also going to be doing a party later on, a 420 party. Is it working now? Okay, we don't need it anymore, but thanks for the next show. Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, Tom. So we have verified proof that it was not engineer error that caused the buzz thing to that. It kills me, man. I think AI really doesn't like me.
Yeah. You think this is AI?
Yeah, or whatever it is. It's a computer. Somebody, I touch it and it breaks, man.
Yeah. It's a computer.
Yeah. No, but I think it's being told what to do by like some robot AI mind. Sal is going to be on, and we're going to talk about what's going on that day. A lot of stuff going on. War DJs are doing shows around the city, and it's always a really good time.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I think the weather's going to be pretty good on Saturday.
I think so.
More importantly, though, on the serious note, we're going to be speaking with Scott McDonald, who's Dane County Clerk. We're talking about the upcoming elections. Already there have been over 2,000 threats leveled at election officials around the country. The Justice Department has a task force looking into it, but of course they've only been able to address about 19 or 20 of these cases. So we're going to be talking about the upcoming elections and security concerns that are happening. As a matter of fact, just the other day, Governor Evers has appointed and assigned more security for Megan Wolf, who is the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And so Scott McDonald will be here in just a few moments to talk about that. Eli, this is a very dramatic morning. Had a lot of bad things happen.
I think it's good to know that we can always solve problems, Tony, because the views and opinions expressed on the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz do not necessarily represent the opinions of the Warp Paid staff, its board of directors, or our millions and thousands of volunteers. The Thursday 8 o'clock buzz is for entertainment purposes only.
So there. Now it's legal. All right. In a minute, Scott McDonald. Right now, enjoy this music.
You put on your coat, I'll put on my hat. You put out the dog, I'll put out the cat. You put on your red dress for me tonight, honey. We're going on the town now, looking for easy money. There's nothing to it, man. Sound when your whole world comes.
Bruce Springsteen from the Wrecking Ball CD. Still one of my favorites. Came out around the 2015 era. Kind of in a response to what was going on in Wisconsin at the time with the uprising. Joining me live in the studio, I'm very pleased to have our Dane County clerk, Scott McDonald, on. Scott, good morning and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Tony.
Well, as I said at the intro there, election workers have been facing threats and violence and vitriol, of course, throughout the country since, especially since the 2020 elections, mainly triggered by the false claims by Donald Trump that there was all kinds of fraud and that the last election was illegitimate. And he continues, after I don't know how many investigations, and many of them even led and paid and directed for by Republican operatives, have proven that there was nothing wrong with the election of 2020. So I want to ask you, first of all, the first question of all, was the 2020 election run here in Wisconsin run fairly and with no fraudulent activity?
Yeah, no, that was a very clean election. I think I remember the election night, we were happy that it came off well. And then, of course, afterwards, we have a whole series of checklists that we use to make sure that the votes are counted properly and the only people who should be voting were voting. So, yeah, from our point of view, that went surprisingly well considering the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I actually remember talking to people and they said actually it was one of the best run elections, not only saying because given the circumstances, I mean, the circumstances were there was a national pandemic at the time, but even with that, the elections were some of the most well-run and efficient elections. And Donald Trump lost, right?
Yeah. I mean, in 2016, I was the one saying that Trump won and that the recount wasn't going to change the results. And the same was true in 2020. Trump lost and the recount wasn't going to change the results because of how accurate our systems are. And that was proven to be true both times.
I think I remember having you on after Trump when we did our very sad show. Now, the threats to election officials have become an epidemic. They're calling it an epidemic, according to the executive director of the Center for Election Innovation and Research. Many people have quit, left their jobs, or, you know, just early retirement or whatever because of that. What about here in Dane County? Is that something you've seen? And also, maybe you might know what the city of Madison, too. Have we seen a lot of people say, forget it, I'm not dealing with this, or what?
Yeah, we've seen it here. We've seen it around the state. I've seen several clerks that I've known for a long time leave early because they're getting followed around, followed to their car, threatened. And in Dane County, we're seeing it's harder to recruit people into these jobs. So we've had about a third of our clerks turnover, which is a little higher than normal. Statewide, it's the same. In Georgia, it was half of them turned over. So,
really?
So this isn't just it's focused on the purple states, you know, the Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, but it's actually happening everywhere. And it's a phenomenon that I'm unfortunately not sure it's going to go away anytime soon.
Well, it may be obvious, but what does this really mean in terms of the ability to run free and fair elections?
Well, it's an effort to intimidate election officials into doing what you want them to do. So, you know, it's, you know, if they're like, for example, don't want people to vote absentee, or they want to try to skew some of the rules or the laws in their favor. And that was one of the interesting things, all the reviews that occurred of the 2020 election, no one actually was suggesting that people who were voting who couldn't legally vote. A lot of it was, well, they used a drop box. Okay, but whose ballot is in that drop box? Oh, well, they're all legal ballots, but we didn't like that it was in a drop box.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're calling it harvesting, the event that was held at James Madison Park, right?
The Democracy in the Park, I think it was referred to. So, yeah, but that was, again, that went to the Supreme Court. They had They had no issue with it. So, all of these things were litigated.
When it comes down to it, these are legitimate voters, and they cast one vote.
Exactly.
And in whatever manner. So there were creative attempts, approaches to carrying out that election, which were deemed necessary because of the health crisis at the time. Now, to get a little bit closer to home here, security up for Wolf as Trump attacks rise. That's from a Milwaukee Journal article just a couple days ago. Donald Trump has actually specifically named Megan Wolf. She's the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, of course. And that has forced Governor Evers to increase security for her. What about what's going on with Megan Wolf and the Wisconsin Elections Commission? And the fact that Robert Spindell, who was actually one of the accused of being and was proven to be one of the fake electors, that still sits on the Wisconsin Election Commission. I mean, who should be leaving, Robert Spindell or Megan Wolf?
Yeah, no, Robert Spindell has no business being in charge of elections in any way. I don't know how that guy walks free, honestly. So, Megan Wolf is truly a hero in this whole story. They have tried everything they can think of to try to push her out so they could replace her with someone more to their liking. She has not caved to that. And there have been threats against her for some time, that well before this more recent Trump-specific attack on her, but that's what they're trying to do, ramp up the attacks. And what happens is people who are, maybe have some personal issues you're worried that they're going to be activated to, pursue or attack or do things because of their own mental health problems or whatever. That's what we worry about. And so she had, I think, multiple investigations of death threats against her before this.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Megan Wolf, and of course, she's very principled in her job and what her responsibilities are. So, of course, I mean, she might want to reply to these accusations, but of course she can't. She says, I can't do that because then to these guys, and it's maybe what they're trying to do is they're going to try to say, see, she's partisan and she's taking sides. She says, I can't comment one way or the other than to say that she has full confidence in the election officials around the state and in the many different jurisdictions that carry out the elections, and many of them are Republican. We should let people know, or they're dominated by people that might vote or lean Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But she is just sticking up for the whole process itself. Fortunately for you, since you're an elected official, you can actually make some partisan comments, right?
I mean, the thing to understand about Megan is the clerks, and you're correct, Republican clerks around the state are Democratic because the county clerks are partisan offices. Municipal clerks are nonpartisan, but they all support Megan. They are deeply appreciative that she's clearly decided she's hanging in here through the November election. She's going to make sure that this is run effectively, efficiently. They're short-staffed over there. They've been denied money by this legislature, so they're doing the best they can on limited resources, and they're doing a good job, and we need them to do a good job. They are an incredibly important part of the whole system, and she's dedicated to making sure that happens through this November.
Right. Now, she can't, of course. She's not going to come out and say Donald Trump is a sore baby loser, but you can, right? But you won't, because I know you're trying to stay above the
fray. I would just say this is a strategy. I mean, whether it's a sore loser, I think he thinks that this helps him. I think that we're past the sore loser part. This is an effort to try to skew the results in his direction.
What about, though, the damage that a lot of people are talking about in terms of the overall institutional the whole institution of elections and running free and fair elections, mm-hmm. and how this kind of constant pounding on that there was something wrong on it is destroying people's faith in the electoral process? What about that?
Yeah, I think that's the lasting damage here is that, half of Republicans don't believe the results are accurate. These conspiracy theories are running wild in a way that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago with social media and with our own, you know, separate cable channels, it's a real problem. It feels almost impossible to keep up with it. And when, you know, we spend time trying to explain, okay, well, no, the machines are accurate, here's all the systems in place, and by the time you do that, they've already moved on to another conspiracy theory. And it just feels like endless chasing of your tail.
And of course, they continue to repeat these lies. Eric Hovde, of course, the senatorial candidate here in Wisconsin running against Tammy Baldwin, uses that. I mean, they all say, we need to bring back integrity in the electoral process, when in fact, there was nothing wrong with it. The election was a fair run election in 2020. It's only because you're listening to knucklehead Trump and just repeating his lie that they've for a certain amount of the populace, they have created a sense of unease about the electoral process, right? I mean, we see that. Now, another thing which I thought was kind of cool, you are a member now of the Committee for Safe and Secure Elections, which is a nationwide effort comprised of, well, a lot of election officials and people that do work like you, such as you as clerks, but it's also other people. Can you talk a little bit about the Committee for Safe and Secure Elections and how you got involved with them?
Yeah, so it's a mixture of law enforcement, sheriffs, police chiefs, and election officials, some at the state level, some at the local. So I'm one of, I think, two local clerks on this committee. And the goal is to educate law enforcement in particular and the public as a whole on the need to protect election officials and how serious it is that threatening them, threatening poll workers, how much damage that does to our democracy. And so we've come up with, and then from a practical sense, educating them on what the law is. Your average deputy doesn't know the details of election law, but they might be sucked into a polling place dispute between, you know, an election denier who's claiming something and a chief inspector or a poll worker who's trying to explain, you know, the actual process. And so we've created, for example, law enforcement guides that go out throughout the state so that are at every polling place, or maybe they aren't now, but they will be, where a deputy can have, okay, here's the actual law. I can look at that in real time. And for example, you know that the chief inspector can eject someone from the polling place if they're disrupting the election. Mm-hmm. Or just more mundane things like how far away someone needs to be from the poll to campaign. Things like that. So this education part is important, and we were glad that in Georgia they've added it to their basic training now for all law enforcement, you know, election law. So this is just an effort to try to you know, have law enforcement respond appropriately, because in a lot of times what'll happen is they'll be like, well, this feels political, I just want to stay out of it. You know, that's the sort of reaction you get. And lots of people make vague threats, you know. I mean, that's true in life, and they deal with that. But the really explaining to them the insidiousness of it, of having... Because what happens, Tony, if you have turnover and you have new people come in all the time, more mistakes happen, and then it feeds the cycle.
You're right, of the paranoia. There was a mistake here, you're right. What... well, a couple things here. First of all, there are rules and there are standards for witnesses, people that are going to be witnesses at the poll, how far they have to stand away from the tables and whatever, and from the people actually counting the ballots or registering people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's 6 feet or whatever. One of the things that Republicans, it appears mostly Republicans, are constantly trying to change is they want to minimize that distance that people have to stand away. They want to minimize, or they want to maximize, maybe the amount of witnesses they can have to this. What are the overall rules? And what are the overall rules? I know people like standing outside of a polling place. You can't be carrying or doing any politicking unless you're so many feet away, right?
100 feet.
What 100 feet? All right. So what about those measures?
The observer rules are going to be on the next election commission agenda, I think, in a couple of weeks from now. But in general, I will say there can be a frustrating thing if you're trying to observe and you're so far back you can't see anything, then it's not a you're not really observing. On the other hand, if you're right over someone's shoulder, that's hard on them doing their job. And so, you know, in the past, it's been like a 3 feet has been the rule. And you know, I do think it's important that they be able to see what they're there to look at. My experience has been when people work the polls, when they observe, their confidence in the system goes up. So we don't want to discourage that. We want them to see what's going on. But I think the bigger issue is, how are they behaving? Are they trying to interfere? Are they constantly interrupting the poll workers? That's the bigger issue to me than the distance.
Right. I mean, I've been happy and I guess honored to, for the last several elections, since at least 2010 or so, I, you know, would vote early and then I'd head down to my hometown of Racine and I'd be working kind of along with the Democratic Party, but not in my job was just to go around to various polling places. They were in, and especially as things started to heat up in 2016 and 2020, especially, there was some fear, there was some talk that there was going to be all kinds of disruptors at these things, and that there's going to be trouble at the polls. So that was kind of a very intense one. But not only that, in 2020, the Republican Party did a good job of actually finding people to come and be witnesses and to sit. And I noticed these people at the polls. And you're right, in terms of like, oh, wow, this is how it goes. And everybody says hi. Everybody's standing in line and waiting to vote. It's a very civic thing. It's a very community building thing, voting, the whole process itself, which was good to see. But I also noticed a lot of these guys are just sitting in their chairs and they had their designated areas where they had to sit in there. They just looked really bored. They're like, man, I really don't want to be here or whatever. They thought it was going to be more exciting.
Right. I think exactly. They think something, they've been told that something wrong is happening.
Yes.
They're given a checklist of what to look for. And then they find that all of those things are happening and then they get bored.
Yeah. Now, the recent allegations against Megan Wolf and other election officials, probably including you, by the Republicans again, and the Republican National Committee and also the chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party is saying that not enough Republican election official inspectors were hired for this last election cycle. What do you say to that, and what is that all about?
Yeah, so let me explain this one. So the parties are allowed and can provide lists of poll workers to the municipalities, and they need to use those lists. So typically the Democrats don't provide a list, although sometimes they do. But the Republicans lately, last couple cycles, have been providing a list. The issue comes is that a lot of times people don't even know they're on this list. Then the list goes to the town of whatever, Albion.
Albany or something.
And then they call through this list, and the people are like, why are you calling me?
The Republicans would just put people on there.
They'll just put them on, by sort them by municipality, and then send them over. The other thing that'll happen is they only want to work. All right, but that was true. More recently, they do want to work the polls, but they don't want to work all the elections. They just want to work November.
Okay.
And then they don't want to go to the training. And then they don't want to, and so this is the issue.
It's too hard.
Well, they don't complete the things they need to do legally to be a poll worker.
Okay.
Now, some of them do, and they work. But yeah. And they weren't saying none of them are being used. They're saying all of them aren't being used. And the answer is they're not willing to work.
They're not following
spring,
through.
They're not willing to work August. And they're not doing the required training.
Not only that, poll workers are needed in almost every municipality. So they would be welcome if they just did what they're supposed to do, did
Absolutely.
Their due diligence. Yeah, you could work the polls.
I don't know a single county that doesn't need more poll workers.
What a bunch of babies. God, this is driving me crazy. There's been the creation of a federal task force, though, through the Department of Justice now that President Biden has set up to address a lot of these threats to election officials, right? And like I mentioned, there were over 2,000 since 2020. So far, 19 people have been charged and 13 convicted after over 2,000 threats reported to the FBI. Some election people are saying the Justice Department is not being aggressive enough. What's your experience as far as the response to the threats that you're hearing in Dane County?
Well,
from the authorities, whether it's FBI or the local sheriffs or whatever.
My experience so far is the FBI is taking it more seriously. They have been communicating, and also the Department of Justice as a whole, not just FBI, has been communicating that they want to see law enforcement pursue charges, and they've listed out different charges that you could use. And I know I got the attention of my DA and the sheriff. Our DA and our sheriff. And so that's good. I will say that, you know, the three election officials that have gotten the most abuse in the state have been Megan Wolf, and then Claire in Milwaukee, and Mary Beth here in Madison. And my concern is nothing seems to have been happened with Mary Beth and Claire's death threats. So I'd like to see something like that happen. And the reason is, when you do prosecute these people, it does help. It does seem to slow down the threats, because, oh, there's actually consequences for this. Oh, it's actually against the law to threaten someone. I think some folks don't think it is. They think they're just participating in the system. They're doing what they've been told to do by Donald Trump or whatever. And then when
they're being true patriots,
when they get visited by Madison police, that suddenly stops.
Which is good. I mean, Well, I mean, part of the problem with this, though, and they're saying when the feds get involved, like it might take 2 or 3 years for them to complete the investigation. Actually, these people that they have convicted, the investigations took a long time. So the wheels move very slowly. But part of it is they have to discern, though, between the whole issue of what is a threat and then what is protected by the First Amendment in terms of what people say.
Well, in my experience, it isn't so much the First Amendment. It's the threat is like a mafia threat. It's like, it would be unfortunate if you fell off the top of a tower. You know, it's like,
right.
And so then they're like, well, it feels like a game of Clue. Like, you have to have the weapon and the room and the person before they'll do anything. It's like, well, they have to tell me when they're going to come and hit me with a lead pipe. I mean, so that tends to be the bigger issue in these situations.
All right. Well, Scott, with the elections coming up, what would you like to say to the our listening audience in terms of what people should think about this, but also when they're talking to other people, what can they say to say, listen, these elections are fair, or in your opportunity to investigate and figure. What do you tell people? What do you got to say? I mean, what are you guys planning for the upcoming November election? What has Dane County got going on?
Well, we have a lot going on, but in general, what I would say is, you know, the election is extremely secure, way more than it was 30, 40 years ago. Our equipment is extremely accurate. It's encrypted. And then we assume, election officials assume an error at every step, and we check it. I don't think people realize that we pre-test the machines. We then test them again when they get out. In each community, there's a public test. Election night, we check the results that come in against the tapes. We then audit everything. And in Dane County, we publish every ballot image to the web after the election. You can click through every one and count them yourself. So we try to have a radical transparency across the system. And actually, even Will, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, said we work best practices for these things. And they thought people should emulate Dane County. What's different coming up in November is it's just a lot of emergency management type planning for things that could happen. You know, we saw fentanyl be mailed in absentee ballots to election officials on the West Coast. We've seen swatting attempts against election officials and unelected officials where they 911 mm-hmm. shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're assuming the worst in all of these things and planning for them. And then, you know, I think the odds are none of these things don't happen. My experience is it's when they don't, when they think they're still going to win, things are okay. And then it's when they lose, then the problems start coming. So we're also planning for post-election day security and other measures.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the county, or was it the city, was going to be developing a huge compound, if you will, to have that. Is that done? Is that in
no? We've purchased the building, and it's the city and the county, and it's out at the old Ale Asylum building mm-hmm. up by the airport.
I wasn't going to tell anybody because it's supposed to be kept.
It's going to everybody knows about it. But the key is it'll be secure with cameras and locks, and it'll be a safe place for election officials to work. and then safe for the equipment.
What would go on there? Are they going to count
bags? I mean, no, we would be, it's more of the warehouse side of it, so where we would store everything. We could do our recounts there, but we wouldn't, it wouldn't be a, it's not intended to be a voting location for like early voting or anything.
Right. All right. Scott McDonald, Dane County Clerk. It's always good, like during the last election, and I think even in 2016, you always get some sort of appearance on MSNBC. I got to say, though, in 2020, you looked pretty haggard there. It was right in the middle of the pandemic. You looked like you had been stranded on a deserted island for a while. I liked the look. It was kind of cool. And they're like, oh, wow, man. No wonder Madison's so weird.
Yeah.
Are you expecting to make any appearances on national TV over the November election?
You know, who knows? I hope the answer is no.
Okay. And everything's fine. All right. All right, Scott, thanks a lot for coming down here today, man. You take care. Keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. And, of course, that's my own opinion there, but we already said what needs to be said, right, Eli?
Exactly. I don't say the disclaimer for nothing.
That's right. It means something. So there. In a minute, we're going to get to DJ El Serpentine Cell. Right now, how about some more of this? By the way, Scott, everything's broke around here. Death to My Hometown, Bruce again from the Wrecking Ball CD. Joining me in the studio, I'm very pleased to have WRT's own. Of course, he's also owned by several other radio stations. I will not name them.
Not true.
He's kind of a little...
Those are alternative facts, Tony.
Those... I've only heard you on those other stations, even though I don't listen to them. But I heard that you were on them. Yeah, because you post about it. That's okay, though. I'm all right with that. I'm open about it. There it is. Play it.
Give you a little shake of the rattlesnake tail there. I am DJ El Serpentine, not El Serpentine, as Tony said earlier today.
Depends, man.
But you can call me
Turpentine.
Sal. Yeah, DJ El Serpentine, because I'm probably going to stain my deck this summer.
All right, good, man. Well, we got some really exciting stuff going on, and Ward is involved in a lot of big ways. It's Record Store Day, and it falls on 420, man, which is wink, wink. I don't know. Something happens.
The planets aligned after the eclipse, and all of a sudden, Record Store Day and 420 fell on the same day, and it's almost too much for me to comprehend.
It is. It's going to be, I mean, Record Store Day is always big, but this is going to be like bigger.
Huge. It'll be huge, Tony. Huge.
Yeah, man. First of all, who decides when Record Store Day is?
Well, I was just going to say.
Stars or what, astronomy?
No,
how do they do?
This is the 16th annual Record Store Day.
In the world, right? It's a worldwide phenomenon.
It started in 2008.
Where?
Well, you know, someone involved with record labels and record stores, you know, they got together with this concept that they knew vinyl was coming back. They knew there was an interest in records.
2008,
So they came up with all these collectible, you know, limited edition pressings. Some are like reissues of records that you can't find anymore.
I remember
some are new releases. that, you know, this is like the first time you're able to get your hands on this new release or whatever. And they ship these out to independent record stores across the nation. Well, probably overseas too. I don't really know what happens across the pond. But, you know, I do know what's happening here in the United States. And that's, you know, like in here in Madison, it's going to be B-Side, Mad City, Strictly Discs. You know, they're the mainstays.
They're like the only record stores anyhow.
Well, the door is getting involved this year, which is the metal and punk store on Monona Drive.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of over there near where Rossi's used to be. It's North Shore Subs or something now, right?
Cool.
But, yeah, so WRT, you know, has been excited about this all along because we love vinyl here. You know,
can I ask a question? Oh. When it first started, where did it first start? I mean, everywhere? Was the whole country said, hey, who said it?
All those stores that I mentioned Madison were all a part of it initially.
All right.
I think Earwax was still around back then, and, you know, Sugar Shack WRT DJs in and stuff like that. So it's a great opportunity to celebrate your independent record store. You know, those are your locally owned stores, so you're not going online to these big, you know, corporate places to buy your music. You're actually going to a local, you know, business and spending your money here locally. And that's what's great about it.
But that's what it's about. That's what Record State is about.
It's about celebrating music. It's about supporting local stores. And it's about records. And like my sister recently asked me, why do you like records? Why are you buying records, you know, in 2024? And it's like the whole ritual of it. You know, I love opening up the sleeve. I love the smell of the vinyl when I pull it out. I love going over to the turntable and dropping it on the turntable and putting the tone arm on there.
Eli, are you following this?
The whole process.
Did you ever hear of records?
So cool.
It's funny. I don't buy records, but I'm excited because I know I've been buying a bunch of comedy CDs lately, and so it's a similar energy, but it's not quite the beautiful vinyl.
Don't take your comedy CDs and put them on a turntable and drop a tone arm on them because it's not gonna.
It's not the same technology. Yeah, no, I got to learn all this new stuff.
Do you even have a turntable?
I don't own a turntable.
Neither do I. And I do have records. I'm
right there behind you, Tony.
I know. Well, I'm not gonna take those. not right now in front of everybody.
Jeff's got it. Vinyl queued up here this morning. So,
all right.
You know, WRT has gotten involved kind of with these things from the beginning. Don Swadley, who does the Feed Me Weird Things programs on late Thursday night, early Friday morning, has sort of been the guy that's been organizing a lot of these Record Store Day events over the years. Sugar Shack used to be the main place where we would have WRT DJs. Go down and spin throughout the day, you know. Sugar Shack closed a couple years ago.
I know.
Sadly. So Don set something up this year where from 12 noon to 5 p.m. at Sig's Treasure Chest, and that's at the corner of North Street and Johnson. Sort of, it's the parking lot behind that brick building. Mm-hmm. If you look right across the street from where Crostini Subs.
Kitty corner from there in that little black.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. Sort of, you know, diagonally across from where Dexter's pub is. But there's going to be a bunch of different vendors and, you know, little pop-up shops set up there in that parking lot this Saturday.
And WRT DJs are going to be there, right?
And, yes, we'll have WRT DJs, DJ Kira Skiro and DJ Spin Cycle, who's our friend Encore, and Steph Stringer from... what is it? Her infinite variety. I almost said our infinite variety. In addition to that, the metal and punk store I just mentioned, The Door on Monona Drive, is having Matt and Mike from the WRT Mosh Pit, which you can hear on Monday nights.
What time is that going to be?
And that is happening from 1 to 3 p.m.
Wow. I'm Monroe. There's going to be some punk on Monroe.
Monona Drive. Yeah, that's Monona Drive. Right. But... then later is the event that I set up
Okay, let's hear this.
So, Tony, in addition to be a volunteer DJ and, you know, volunteering at all these local events where I, you know, I'm runner and sometimes I'm pouring beer and stuff like that, I'm also sometimes a volunteer concert promoter. And these days, usually where I'm doing those events is at the Crystal Corner. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had been friends with Joe Lambert for a long time, and Joe would always give me, you know, at least one Saturday per mm-hmm. season to book a show in. Now Bobby Hussey took over right. after Joe retired. And Bobby and I are friends as well. And right. he said, hey, I got this open date. It's Saturday, April 20th. And right away, it's like I lit up like a pinball machine.
For many different reasons.
I was like, ding, 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 that's 420. And then I looked at my calendar and I went, ding, 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 that's record store day. And so immediately I thought, we got to make this a WORT event instead of just me, you know, booking in some bands yeah. to play.
Great. And so what did you get? So, what do we got going on? And this is a cool thing for everybody. It's a fundraiser for awards.
Right. We're going to be, you know, proceeds from this event are going towards WORT. But along the lines of 420, which is a celebration of, you know, counterculture activities. It's a celebration of having choice in your life, which is, of course, is very important in lots of social and political topics these days. But, you know, in line with it being Record Store Day and 420, what we're going to do is we're going to start off at 8 o'clock on Saturday at the Crystal Corner with WORT DJ Julia McAnley from her Infinite Variety. And Julia actually is now also doing shows on the slot that I do, which is Friday on My Mind.
Oh, wow.
On Friday nights, along with, you know, Harry Ragg and Bill the Walking Doctor, and I kind of rotate. Now Julia is in that rotation as well.
I got to say that I actually find myself awake and listening to Ward on Sundays, and I like yeah. what they're playing on her Infinite Variety.
Yeah, yeah. And Julia's new here at Wart, but she's really, you know, come on like gangbusters, and I'm really excited to have her open the event on Saturday. So that'll be at 8 o'clock, and then at 9 o'clock, local Madison band The Earthlings are going to play. And The Earthlings are big friends of WORT. You may have seen them at the Waterfront Festival last year when they played. And then...
And you would describe their music as...
Hard to describe, okay. but very appropriate for a 420 event. They're kind of psychedelic,
right.
Which means a million different things, means different things to different people.
Right.
But at any rate, they're going to play about a 70-minute set, and then Brian Hirsch from Green Morning Radio is going to DJ in between the bands, and then the headliner at about 10:45 or so will be Iftikhar, and they are huge in the local jam band scene. They're from the Fox Valley, based out of Appleton. Their album that they did a couple years ago was produced by Jake Sinninger from Umphrey's McGee down in Chicago, which wow. is a huge jam band. Mm-hmm, Jake actually mm-hmm. plays lead guitar on some of that album.
Wow.
Iftikhar also has started their own festival promotion company called Whisk Jam or Wee Jam, W-I Jam, Wisconsin Jam.
Cool. So that's all.
And yeah, and they don't play here often enough. So I was really, really pumped to get Iftikhar to headline. But then after they get done at midnight, the big headliner for WORT is New Phone Rick, who does the XL2 live music hour at midnight on Friday nights. And he does live music exclusively on his show and does a lot of jam bands. So he's going to be perfect for this event.
And is he going to be spinning, or is he going to be?
He is doing an all vinyl set.
Wow,
we're going to have two turntables and, you know, also accessibility.
A good late night. The bar's going to stay open until almost bar time. Yeah,
typical.
Finally, for the first time in many, many years.
Typical timing.
Great.
But it's all starting at 8 o'clock this Saturday at the Crystal Corner. And yes, proceeds do support WORT Community Radio.
And that's cool. The great events. But not only that, all the record stores that you mentioned, though, they're going to have all kinds of deals too going on.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, it's getting on time though. Sal, thank you so much for coming down here. And
cool,
again, everybody check out all that stuff. It benefits WRT. Me and Eli are going to try and get out of here at 9 o'clock, and we failed again.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, darn it. I want to thank Scott McDonald, Dane County Clerk. I want to thank you. Sasha's got that big show tonight.
Yep.
The Crucible. Eli, I'll see you later. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Sal, for coming on again. Don't forget 420 Record Store Day everywhere, and then go to the Crystal Corner later. And I'm going to see you at the Crystal, man.
I'll be there.
All right. I'll I'll be there too.
Hey, good show, Tony.
Jeff, you can blame me for blabbing too much here.
Jeff, did you speaking of vinyl? Did you find that? Did you find the vinyl over there?
No, it's my old
scratch one. Dang it! All right. Thanks a lot. This is WRT 89.9 FM, Madison, Wisconsin. Stay tuned for the Insurgent Radio Kiosk. Right.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Thursday, April 18th.
Former New Mexico Governor Bruce King once opposed a bill because he said he feared it would open a whole box of Pandoras. An odd rhetorical twist, but it would be helpful if today's ego-bloated high-tech billionaires and corporate profiteers had a bit of Bruce's self-restraint, rather than thinking their money equals genius. For example, such doofuses are presently pushing convoluted schemes to solve our globe's technology-caused climate crisis with, what else, technology. Their latest box of Pandoras includes a grandiose plan to geoengineer carbon dioxide, the destructive gas spewed into our air by the production and use of fossil fuels. The geniuses say they had the techno know-how to suck up that bad gas and pump it a mile deep into the earth. See? Problem gone. All they need, they say, is for taxpayers to put up trillions of dollars. Who's behind this hustle? Oil giants,